My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman, at home in Port Melbourne, Blackrock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
Good morning, Sam Gayman.
Good morning, Eddie.
How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. Big day of opens ahead and looking forward to meeting lots of people today.
Excellent, and good morning, Torsten.
Good morning, Eddie.
Are you well?
Excellent, thank you.
What are we talking about today?
Well, we've had a few emails come in through the week just in relation to commercial property.
Sam and I talked about residential property a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, you did. So I guess there are a lot of listeners out there that obviously are owners of commercial property or that are looking to invest in commercial property. So just wanted to run through the merits of that as an investment vehicle and also the benefits of having a commercial property as well.
Sammy, so what are you looking for when you're buying a commercial property?
Well, it may very much depend on what purpose you're looking at buying that property for. Is it something you're buying as an owner-occupier or is it something you're buying as a commercial investor?
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying as a commercial investor, I think one of the things that you might look for is you'd look for a busy retail strip. You'd look for a strip that has secure tenancies. You'd look at properties that have secure tenancies.
Well, it depends on the type of business, surely.
Yes, it does. And then you also might look at what sort of increases are built into a lease, what sort of growth potential you might have, but then also looking for something that might have future development potential or value adding. So, you know, it might be a property, for example, with rear access where you can increase the overall capacity or rental capacity by adding another dwelling to that particular property.
So there are a lot of subtopics here. So let's take it back a step. A couple of weeks ago,
absolutely,
we discussed landlords and tenants with residential property. Let's say that Harry from Port Melbourne decided to buy a commercial property. It is a shop on a busy shopping strip. Where does he start, TK?
Well, I guess really what he needs to look at is he buying it as an owner-occupier or is he buying it as an investor?
All right, let's say investor.
So if he's an investor, then what he wants to see is what sort of the zoning is on that premises so that you can actually see what retail uses that can be leased at for future proofing. It's obviously a lot easier when there's a tenancy in place that you know how long the leases are that are coming with the contract of sale. So a lot of retail tenancies tend to be up to 10 to 15 years. So you'll have what we call options. So you'll have an existing fixed term lease.
Yes.
So for example, it might be 4 years with two further terms of a further 4 years each time.
And he has the option to take it.
No, the tenant has the option to actually take that.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
So what you want to understand is where is the actual lease in terms of that original existing lease? So are we in the first term, the second term, or the third four-year term? So that lets you do your forward thinking as far as your planning.
Yep.
The other thing that you really want to actually also understand is that commercial rent an old commercial rent in the sense that, you know, what we are finding is at the moment with the transition to a lot of e-commerce, a lot of retail strips have got a historically high point in as far as the rental asking price. And there has been an adjustment in rents on a lot of the major strips. So if you have a look at Chapel Street, for example, there are something like 17 vacancies in retail shops on Chapel Street, unheard of in the history of that street. And that's purely a reflection on this transition period that we are going through where a lot of rents have actually got beyond the actual capacity for those retail shops to actually have enough on-foot sales to cover those rental requirements.
This is My Real Estate, back in a tick.
My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman, at home in Port Melbourne, Blackrock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
This is My Real Estate, all thanks to Chisholm and Gayman. We know Bayside. 9531 1245, the one central number to call. 9531 1245 for all your real estate needs, whether they be residential or commercial, property management or sales. Chisholm and Gayman, we know Bayside. If you're calling from interstate, pop an 03 in front of that number. Internationally, our country code is 61, then 3, 9531 1245. Four offices, where are they, Torsten?
They're in Mount Martha, Blackrock, Elwood and Port Melbourne, Eddie.
And we're continuing today discussing commercial property, commercial investments, commercial leasing.
Finishing off for where we left off before the break, Eddie. The lease that's in place is a really important aspect to that we, Sam and I, have a look at for clients. So as I say, it depends on how long's left. If there's only 1 year left in a lease and we, you know that that tenancy may come to an end, you may want to ask the selling agent what's the appetite of the current tenant to actually extend that lease. Certainly, there's also, when there is a tenancy in place, there is a GST implication on that. So there are benefits of having a tenancy in place as well. So so you need to ask your financial advisors and accountants on that aspect. But what you do want to do is actually understand also the health of that tenancy. So I tend to, from when we're buying on behalf of clients, I'll tend to go and talk to the actual tenant, just see how they're travelling along. Because you want to make sure that the market rent is actually similar to what your tenant is paying.
Yes.
If you're finding that historically the rent is actually beyond market, that tenant has so many options to move to other properties. So what you want to make sure is that you're at a level that you're aware of, that the rent that you can get from either the existing tenant or a future tenant will actually service the loan that you're actually going to undertake to actually purchase the property.
So, Torsten, that throws up a few different variables for commercial landlords that might be looking to sell. If there is a bit of availability in their particular strip and options for tenants, they may wish to secure that tenant for a longer term and attract investors. But equally, you might have the situation where an owner-occupier wants to make the purchase. So not having a long length of lease gives that option. I mean, what's generally the best advice, do you think?
I think if you're going to be selling a commercial property and the lease expiration is not too far off, my advice is to hold off on any future negotiation that you've provided that flexibility. If you're actually midterm in an option period, well, it becomes fairly self-fulfilling in the sense that you realise that you are either going to be selling to another fellow investor or you're going to be selling to an owner-occupier that actually has got time on their side that can wait for the expiration of that option period. But certainly if you're within a 15-month period, then my advice would be to time it so that you've got the expiration within a six-month period, because even for an owner-occupier, the existence of that tenancy is a good thing from a GST point of view.
So, Torsten, what are the other benefits of buying a commercial property? Let's say from a rates point of view, maybe?
Yes, and that's a good point, Eddie, that your tenant does pay most of the outgoings. And the other really critical one...
That's the difference between commercial and residential.
It is indeed.
Absolutely.
And one of the big differences.
It's one of the big differences, but also the other aspect, you know, for example, that at Chisholm and Gayman, we have a few of our offices that we actually lease off landlords, and we have others that the company itself does own. The benefit that the landlords that we are tenants of is that it's in our interest to actually keep maintaining the office and doing the renovations and keeping up with modern fit-outs. So all of that cost is actually borne by us as a tenant. So, you know, that's the actual real benefit in the fact that the tenanted properties, if they're upgraded by the tenancies, there's no question whilst that fit out doesn't come with the property, it certainly has an impact on the look and feel of the property, which actually has a significant impact on the value, Sam.
It does. And the other thing about value, and that's an interesting...
And hold that thought, Sammy. This is My Real Estate, back shortly.
My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman at home in Port Melbourne, Blackrock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
My Real Estate continues. Sam.
Yeah, so Eddie, Torsten. So Torsten, one of the things that I was thinking about just then is that there are a few different variables for what might contribute to value when it comes to a commercial property and if somebody's looking to purchase one. And that might be things like, for example, if it has a restaurant permit or if it has a certain amount of outdoor seating that might... have a right of use or existing use. So
if I lease a commercial property, I just can't do whatever I want inside that commercial property?
That was what we were saying earlier in the program, Eddie, that you want to see what the actual mandatory statutory rights are with the actual zoning, and that was where it's important to understand that there are certain...
That's an entire show in itself.
So, look, that's, you know, we can actually do a show on, you know, because there's...
On zoning.
On zoning, and that, it's not just the business retail classes, it's actually the industrial and so forth. So there's a whole show in that. But certainly what is, as Sam is saying, liquor licences, for example, are not being handed out as frequently as they were. So if there's an inherent license that comes with the property, there actually is a value to that. If there is a as of right for a certain non-conforming use, which is a really important aspect, and that is that some properties may not be zoned appropriately, but councils have deemed fit in past history to actually allow what they call a non-conforming use. So in other words, the actual business doesn't conform with the zoning, but they've granted a permit. That permit runs with the property as an as of right for 2 years.
So simplifying all this, I make widgets. And the only place I can sell my widgets in a shopfront scenario is a place which is zoned to allow me to sell said widgets.
If it's just selling a product, that's fine. But if you're manufacturing the product, you can't do that out of the retail
premises. Okay, no worries.
So it's a difference. The purpose of selling face to face in the main is not the widgets aren't the issue. It's actually the machinery making the widgets. So
right,
if you're wanting to make and sell on the one premises,
yep,
you'll need the appropriately zoned premises, and that's where you'll be specific in that requirement.
Sure.
But certainly, as I say, the non-conforming use one is an interesting one because there are plenty of properties that we sell where if you actually look at the zoning, the actual tenancy doesn't comply. So it's really important that you actually are citing and have in hand the actual documentation that allows that non-conforming right.
And car parking is another thing to think about, Torsten, because certain businesses...
Car parking is something to think about whether it's residential or commercial. Car parking is gold.
It is, and again, there's a value to what's around that commercial premises. So, for example, where our Black Rock office is located, there are several public council-owned car parks which really soften the impact of the peak traffic periods where parking can be an issue on the actual main thoroughfare of the road, but they're literally within 30 to 45 seconds away from multiple car zones.
So, TK, is it better for you not to be able to park in front of a shop and make it a pedestrian thoroughfare, or is it better for the cars to go through?
My personal feeling, and it's a contentious one with what's happening down at Ackland Street, but all the retailers that we're speaking to down there are devastated that it's being blocked off. And there's no question it will hurt trade for them. It's unquestionable. I mean, even the conversations we're having with, we live in the area, and certainly the convenience of being able to drive down there with the kids and get some ice creams and so forth isn't there available to us now. It was just, and where they'd actually had it working well was that, and most municipalities have got this worked out, is they have far shorter parking allowances, so 15 or 30 minute parking zones in front of shops, and that's worked brilliantly. So it's meant that you've had constant turnover of people going in and out very quickly, generating revenue and income for the retailers. So I think, as I say, I think that's a really important aspect. But as I say, with the parking, which is the other element that Sam and I always push, and that is if you can find a retail site that actually has rear access, that also allows you to have a shop top opportunity, because you can have rear access to have a separate entrance to create a dwelling above the shop. So again, depending on what your appetite is, whether you're wanting to value add, I'm a big fan of buying properties that have that right-of-way access at the rear that gives you flexibility to have a mixed use, and that's to have a residential use at the top or an office space above the actual shop.
And gentlemen, that's where we have to leave it this week. Do it all again next week. Thank you, Torsten.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Eddie.
This has been My Real Estate.
Wherever you go, say hello.
1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.